Okay, so we're on Mem Hey Amunaleph, right? The question of the the Te'enim. Ochel b'te'enim v'hosir. V'ha'alam l'gag. Okay, so there's an interesting interesting ritva. Right? Not in the Moshe Rav Kook, but in the old Ritvas, or in the Moshe Rav Kook Ran. So he tries to explain what's this Hava mean. A little bit funny. The Lashon's a little funny, isn't it? The way he the way he poses his question. What did he say? He said they should have asked it earlier. I don't know what he means by that. He means you mean when Rabbi Yochanan, he means that when Rabbi Yochanan said earlier that the chitim, shezorim, bakarko are not mukta according to Rabbi Shimon, why didn't they bring this brisa then? That's what he means to say. What? Isn't that what it, Rabbi Yochanan, chitim, shezorim, bakarko? In other words, he's bothered with why did the Gemara bring this brisa as a question now? Why didn't it bring it as a question of Rabbi Yochanan himself? Is that clear? It means like this. He says, "Nearly de lahachi parach tamuda mehach brisa hacha, velo parach mina leel, lemay deshar Rabbi Yochanan chitin shezorin bekarka." That why did the Gemara bring the brisa as a question on the statement of ein muktzal Rabbi Shimon el grogos v'tzimukim, right? Why did they bring it as a statement over here? Why did they bring it as a kasha here? So you say Rabbi Shimon only holds from grogos v'tzimukim. Here's the case of the chavushim. Why didn't it bring it earlier on Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan said about the chitim shezorim bakarka that they're not mukta? Why didn't it bring this down and say, oh, but the chavushim are mukta, according to Rabbi Shimon? So why aren't the chitim mukta, according to Rabbi Shimon? That's the Ran or the Ritva's question, right? Why didn't they ask from this brisa earlier? Why were they saving this brisa until now? Because here's a brisa that seems to imply that Rabbi Shimon holds from a certain kind of a mukta, other than grogos v'tzimukim. And he's saying it's similar to really the chitim shezorim bakarka. That's what's bothering him. Because it's both cases where you put them away in a certain situation, and they really roy the whole time. Right? Really roy the whole time. So why didn't it bring this question earlier by the chitim shezorin? Right? Okay. So he says like this: Mishum diikal meimar dilma ba'afrasikin v'chavushin moda Rabbi Shimon v'fishel achashenis yavshu begag yihu reuyan yoser mimashen achshav u'mishum hachi makta daito mehen ad sheyihu reuyan legamri. Mashenikin bechitin shazar and bekarka de adaraba. Kol shehen shoin yoser bekarka nifsodin vaholchen. So he's really trying to differentiate. It's interesting, Ran Ritva. He's trying to differentiate what? He's trying to show you why the Gemara didn't think it's a kasha on the chitim shazar. Because by the chitim, because over here, why would it be more mukta? No, he's saying like this, saying, there was not a kasha to say that chitim shezoron is not mukta and these are mukta. That was not a kasha. Because there's a simple explanation for that. What is the explanation? That over here, so what's the metzius he's telling you? Over here, they're going through a process. They are going through a process. And the process is improving them. But the process takes time. So you're putting them into a process that's going to improve them in a couple of days or whatever it is, right? So since they're going to improve by that process, it makes sense to say that he's makta daito mehen. until they're totally ready. Until they're totally ready. But the chitim shezoron is the opposite. It's a process that would degrade them, that degrades them. The longer they're in the ground, the less roy they are for achila. So therefore, he's saying it makes sense to the Gemara to say that the chitim shezoron bekarka is not muktzah, but these are. Isn't it somewhat like backwards? Like I thought, like a little bit of a backwards logic here.
Is the thing that's getting less roi is not
muksa? Right, the thing that you're putting into the situation of getting less roi is not muksa. The thing you're putting in the situation of being more roi is muksa. All right, so what does he mean?
Routine.
No, as the chitim, you could argue you're doing something that's gonna that really is removing them from ochel. But over here, you're not. You never really even the end of the process is not a hafka of ochel. By the chitim, it is. Now, as normally up to now, we've seen that Rabbi Shimon holds it's muksa dafka because you're putting it into a situation where you're removing it from ochel. I understand. So what do you say? I'm just sort of posing it as a provocative question. I think you're right. The answer is here. What's the answer? Why is this worse? Why is this worse? What do you say? What do you say? What's the difference between the cases? Now, let's think about the choices that are being made over here. Let's think about the choices that are being made. Okay, so you have the chitim are now roy for eating, correct? They're roy presently for achila, and he's putting them in a situation of growing, right, which removes them from achila. So right now they have a certain usage that's shayach to the yom, right? They enter the day with a certain use that's shayach for the yom. So now the question is what? The question is, well, do I say since he put them in a situation that's removing them ultimately from this use, that makes them muktzah? Does that make them muktzah? The fact that he is the adayim, placing them in a situation that's gonna negate their present usage. Okay. That's gonna negate their present usage. So we say like this, we say no. That Rabbi Shimon holds what? Let's just put this carefully. Rabbi Shimon holds what? So we say that Rabbi Shimon holds that the putting it into the situation of Zeroyim, right, is not a dechiyah of the Shem Ochel in the Zeroyim. Why? It's not a dechiyah of the Shem Ochel in the Zeroyim. Why? So what have we been saying up now? Basically, as long as it enters the Yom with the potential of Achila, right? It still exists now with the potential of achila. So what do we say? We say the fact that he puts it into a certain situation that ultimately will remove it from achila. That doesn't change the. That doesn't negate the identity of in terms of the cheftza as an ochel. See what? Let's just explore the way he's thinking about it. So what is the other side? See, the other side is he's saying that you might say that in terms of when you have a competition between achila and a bitl of achila. Right? In other words, by the Zerayim, what's the question? It says it enters the Yom Bitoras Ochel. It really starts out as an Ochel. But you're putting it in a situation that ultimately will be removing it from Ochel. Correct. So in that situation, I say that the person always still relates to it. He doesn't give up. Person doesn't give up. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Person doesn't give up the potential in the object. Doesn't give up the usage in the object. In terms of the day. Sorry. So he still relates to it. It still exists to him as ochlim that are omeid for a certain removal from the achila. But he's not going to. But he's learning like this. He's saying that the Gemara thought maybe the idea is that since it's a question of being ro'oi at all for achila or something else, so he doesn't give up on the identity of ochel until he has to, just descriptively. But that's because a person doesn't change in one use for another use. He doesn't give up one use for another use. He'll maintain it as an ochel until it's no longer roy. But if it's in the same framework of achila, so then it's not giving up a use. You understand? Now, there's an idea that what prevents the muktzah for Rabbi Shimon is an idea that a person doesn't sacrifice. He doesn't sacrifice one tashrish for another. He can switch from one to the other. You understand? But just because he puts it in a situation where it's going to be removed from achila, he doesn't in his mind stop relating to it as an ochel until it's actually removed. In other words, Rabbi Shimon holds, in a certain descriptive way, he's saying a person relates to all of his objects in the maximum to get the maximum usage out of them. Okay? So he wouldn't just give up, he wouldn't give up on he wouldn't say the chitim because ultimately they'll be not roi l'achila. He doesn't now relate to them as a non-ochel. Yeah, he puts them in the situation. But he's still keeping his options open. Okay, why? But why? Because it would be a switch, a qualitative switch from something that's ochel to something that's a non-ochel. In that category, he doesn't switch from one category to the other unless it's by force. He just has an omid for this. But maybe that's only because you're sacrificing a certain qualitative usage. But maybe within the same use of ochel, that's not called giving up a use. You understand? Going from one ochel to another ochel, going from one ochel to a better ochel, that's not called giving something up. As Rabbi Shimon's, the way they're learning that is Rabbi Shimon's shita is the person always relates to his objects, in terms of muktzah at least, in terms of their potential use, in terms of their potential. And the fact that he puts it in the ground, that's true, that's a techi b'yadayim, but in the ground they potentially still have a shem ochel. So you have to look for what's going to remove the shem ochel. What would remove the shem ochel from the chitim? Right? So he says, by the chitim, there's a good reason to say that it doesn't remove the shem ochel. Nothing removes the shem ochel. Because to remove the shem ochel would now to be mevatel an entire category from his chefza. Because the chefza would now qualitatively exist in the ground as a nothing. But that would require a person to give up on looking at his object as a potential source of use. He's going to be removing it. So that's what the Gemara thought. That I understand why the chitim in the ground and not muktzah, because what's negating their existence? What's negating their usage? They're usable now. They're usable now. And there's nothing to negate their usage. But, because to negate their usage would simply be to, that's what Rabbi Shimon holds. A person relates to all of his objects as in terms of their potential still. But maybe, but by the fruits that are getting better,
That's maybe on that case we would agree that Rabbi Shimon holds there's a muktzah. Why? Because the problem is only negating a certain quality of a certain category of use. You understand? But by the chavushim, he's not negating a category of use. This is within the same usage of achila that it had before, so it's not considered a negation. Now, the problem, though, the Gemara is learning that what's the problem of saying he removed his das from them? The problem is a person doesn't give up a usage. Why would you say he's giving up a usage? According to, if you're going to put the chitim in the ground and say that he's makta the midaite, that means that for no reason, the guy is just devaluating all of the seeds. He's just, for no reason, he's just removing his das from them. They're there, they're available, they exist for him as an ochel. And he's saying, you know what, I'm going to give up on this whole, I'm going to give up on this object that I have. I'm yayish completely on this object that I have. Why would the person take that loss? Still, I'm speaking descriptively over here, going to Rabbi Shimon, right? The problem is that a person doesn't give up on things for no reason. He doesn't just abandon something that has a usage to him. If something has a potential use to him now, why would we say he's abandoning it? Right? It exists b'toras ochel now. So you're just going to say, he's going to take something that's a good ochel and just say it's not an ochel? That's contrary to Rabbi Shimon's shita, that you relate to things just by how they are, just by their potential. But maybe we only say a person won't remove his das from something as an ochel because that would create a qualitative change in the object. Because to say that that he's giving up on the chitim only means that he's mevatel them mitoras ochel legamri. Why would a person be mevatel his chitim mitoras ochel legamri? That's a total loss in terms of the chitim that he has. In terms of the chitim that he has, it's a total loss. Okay, if they start growing, then that's a gain. But until that point, why would he just simply self-impose a loss on himself? But if it's a shinui litivusa, if it's mishana litivusa, then it's not a loss. You understand? Then you don't have a problem saying that he's removing his das from them now as an ochel. Why? Because that's part of how he relates to them as an ochel itself. He relates to these things b'toras ochlin, how? In terms of what their future achila will be. You understand? So you can say that right now he is makta them midaito legamri. Why? Not because he wants to lose in terms of achila. No, he wants to gain in terms of achila. That's not contrary to the, you know, you can't be mevatel the shame legamri for nothing. But if it's in the same category that the shame is in, and you're switching it in, and you're viewing it as an improvement, but that improvement requires removing yourself from it for a temporary time, that we say is considered a haktzah. In other words, it's not, according to this way of looking at it, it's not that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold there's an idea of haktzah midaite, of a dechia and haktzah that exists in the mind, but it's only that we don't say that if it's contrary to us, if it means that he's going to be negating something legamri. As it exists, from the way it exists now, he's going to be negating it legamri. But if it exists now as an ochel, and he wants to, and he's thinking about it as a better ochel, but that requires a certain removal temporarily, That's fine. That's a haktzah. There's nothing that prevents that kind of haktzah. We're saying that there's a certain something that prevents a haktzah. What prevents a haktzah is the bitul hachefetz legamri, from the way it is now. But over here, you don't have that problem. Over here, you don't have that problem. So he's saying you can't accept the haktzah of the zroyim because that's a haktzah of destruction. But maybe the haktzah of the chavushim is a haktzah because it's a haktzah of l'shvach. No, because in order to get the better food, right, he has to leave it here for 2 days, let's say. In order to get the chavushim, in order to go from the fresh peaches to the dried peaches, he has to remove himself from it for 2 or 3 days, whatever the time period is. So that means in the span of Shabbos, it's removed from him categorically. It's removed from him for the Shabbos. Right? Rabbi Shimon Shita is a person never closes off his options. Right? No. It's not that he doesn't close off his options. It's that he's not mevatel something b'kidi. The person's not just mevatel a chefta that he has as tashmish to remove it from his own, from his use for nothing. But if it is still within the framework that it exists right now, that's not called wasting something. You understand? So then we can accept his haktzah. The question is, why did Rabbi Yochanan negate the haktzah of the Zeroyim? Is it the way we were thinking up till now? It's because he holds, doesn't go by haktzah at all. Doesn't go by dechia b'yadayim at all. It goes by the intrinsic use of the chefza. Right? And if the chefza is always usable, that's all we look at. Right? But the Ran or the Ritva is saying, no, there is still a slight possibility to say that it still does go by a dechia b'yadayim. But would only be a dechia b'yadayim where in that same framework there's no net loss, basically. It's not that we say that it goes purely by its objective use and that the person's das doesn't do anything. It's that we say that the person is not makza midaite anything that would negate a usage to him. But this is not negating this usage of achila. It's improving this usage of achila. Him. Now let's put it this way. When there is a dual identity, when there are dual competing identities, right, like chitim in the ground, they have a competing identity. Ochel or Zra'im or things that are going to grow. So he's saying, Rabbi Shimon says, they still exist with both of those possibilities. Right? Because one possibility doesn't negate another. But maybe within the same category, you can modify it. You understand? And you'll say that since he's taking these chavushim, which are an ochel, and he's putting them up for a better ochel, so then that is the way they really exist. Now they do exist. He hasn't changed them qualitatively. It was to go from chitim to zroyim, that's a qualitative, from ochel to the plant, that's a qualitative change. So Rabbi Shimon holds, it enters the day with the qualities that it has. And we don't, and even though you put it in a certain situation, that's not called negating a possibility. Because remember the way we're learning, we're trying to learn Rabbi Shimon. That he just looks at the possibilities, right? Everything is defined by its possibilities, and the only way to make something muktzah is effectively to deny a possibility, legabi the Shabbos, right? Or to effectively remove a possibility, legabi Shabbos, to put it in a situation where you're saying its usage is impossible, correct? So we say like this: we say, well, when the person puts the chitim in the ground. So now they exist right now in terms of they still have a shame, they still have the possibility of achila. And the fact that you're putting them in a situation where eventually they'll grow, that doesn't remove the possibility now. Why? Because they're entering the yom still essentially as a chitim, as a chita, which is an ochel, which has a certain possibility of, has a potential of achila. And it's true, you're putting them biodayim in a situation that will ultimately deprive them of that use. But that doesn't negate its possibility. That doesn't negate the present possibility, right? Even the situation and the situation like that doesn't negate the present possibility. They exist with both possibilities. It's still one of its possibilities. It could continue and grow, or it could be taken and eaten, right? It doesn't remove the possibility of achila. It's not like lighting the big kos, where your mice is putting it in a situation of isser that will last the whole yom. There's no situation of isser that will last the whole yom, and so it doesn't an alternate thing doesn't negate the possibility. Fact of the matter is that's why the Gemara brings the case of the muktzah machmas mitzvah, because that's the only case where an alternate definition removes its usage, because it's two mitzvah. But just because I say it's for growing, that shame alone, that dichui of that shame alone is not enough. That's why I think that's a better, I was thinking about it more. That's why it's more similar to the, that's why it takes the case of the mitzvah. But the Gemara is, but according to this Ran and Ritva, the Gemara is thinking maybe it's because you can't negate a tashrish. Just by putting it in a certain situation where it has another possibility of use doesn't negate the original possibility that it had, which is eating. But maybe maybe within that same category, I can redefine it within that category itself. Maybe in terms of ochel itself, I can say this is a upgrade of achila, and therefore the possibility of the inferior achila is included already and overshadowed by the greater achila, and now legabi the yom, the person did negate the possibility of the present achila. Why? Because within the very inyan of achila, he has a better use for it. Because you wouldn't deny, he's saying you don't say that another possibility is going to be soser. The fact that there's another possibility is not going to be soser. Unless he's saying it's actually an improvement of what you have right now, within the very same idea of what you have right now. But then it's not really a stira. It's not really soser. You understand? You're not really soser. Because you still are relating to it as an ochel. That's all he's saying. He's saying when you put it in the ground, it doesn't remove the way you relate to it. It still doesn't remove the fact that it still relates to it as an ochel. Yeah, but maybe relating to it as a better ochel does negate the original shem achila. That's not contradictory to the chitim shazaram bekarka. All he's saying is that this brisa is not a contradiction to chitim shazaram bekarka. Chitim shazaram bekarka is simply saying another possibility doesn't remove the first one. Qualitatively, it existed with the Shem Achila. Now giving it another usage is not going to be so to the Din Achila. But this case is maybe telling you something different. That the person looks at it as its best Shem Achila. That's what he looks at it as. That's not a stira of the Shem Achila. You understand? Maybe he does look at it. Maybe the only reason why the person doesn't look at the Chitim Shazar and Bekarka as something else is because he doesn't remove the category of the possibility of achila from his usage. But over here, it doesn't demand removal of the category of achila. It's just a particular in how it's going to be an achila. So maybe this one, he does remove it. Maybe this one, we do say, it will exist to him now as removed from the possibility of eating now. Why? Because eating is so important to me. And I love to eat good stuff. And the best way to eat these things is if I don't eat them for 3 days. So you can't say that's being soser the chefts of b'toras ochel, which would be necessitated by saying that he gives up on the chitim in the ground. You understand? That's the only problem for Bishimon.
Not that he just looks at the facts on the ground and says, well, is it edible, 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 edible. He looks at it and he says, why would I deprive this category of achila from this chefza? Nobody would. Why would you do that? Oh, but if it's saying that they're better achila later, that's not depriving the category of achila from the chefza. So maybe that is nitfas for the better use. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, to say I'm going to keep them as chavushim, that means even today, in some sense, I'm relating to them still as an ocho. I never removed them mitoras ocho from my usage. The only thing is, the ocho that I now am considering them won't be roy for a few days. So they're still on, even on Shabbat, they still are existing b'toras ochlin. The only thing that Rabbi Shimon holds that you don't say is that a person is going to be mafkia, a category of use. but here you don't need to say that. Here you don't need to say that. Now, Rabbi Shimon doesn't say that because the chitim are ultimately going to lose their shem ochel, that we should just forfeit the shem ochel right now. That's keneged Rabbi Shimon Shita. He doesn't define it in any particular way. He just looks at what the possibilities still are. So, and it would require a removal of a possibility. But why would you say a person is going to just, because something will happen later, why should he remove the possibility now? That's foolish. But by the chavushim, you're not removing any shame. This is how you look at it as nachila. You're not just prematurely removing a shame ochel. You're saying it is an ochel now, but I have a better usage of ochel for it. So it doesn't require me to forfeit any identity of achila. As a matter of fact, what creates the muktzah is its new achila. It's new shame ochel. Its new shame ochel will take a couple days to be fulfilled. So therefore, I look at it now in terms of its future better self. But lemaisa, we say that none of this occurs. And Rabbi Shimon just holds that there's no role of the das as long as you're still retaining the cheftza in Bitoras, in terms of its possibilities, you don't remove even a detail within one possibility. I mean, that's the question. Would Rabbi Shimon just say you don't remove a possibility at all? Or even within a usage, what about a particular type of use? I mean, we're really down to the fine, very fine chilukim within Rabbi Shimon. How much? What's preventing? How is he really looking at it? Is he really looking at it with all the possibilities or with categorical possibilities? That's what I'm trying to say.
That use, right?
No, it's just like, if a guy has an unripe fruit, right? So you say, could you eat it now? Yes. Oh, so it's a food now. Correct. But a guy's going to wait until it ripens. Why? Why is he going to wait until it ripens? Because it's not as good of a fruit as it could be. So because of its quality of achila, he's not going to eat it now. Right? So would you say when he's not eating it now, he's not treating it as a food?
Right, just because you forfeit a use, it doesn't...
Was you forfeiting the immediate use of it, right? You're forfeiting an immediate use. But that's the question. That's the question in Rabbi Shimon. Would we say that he forfeits an immediate use within the same category of that use? Because he certainly doesn't forfeit one use for another. An immediate use for a totally different use, like the chitim in the ground. But would we say that the haktzah of an immediate use for the very same use later, in a better way?